was so good to see people this morning again after a few weeks. So I really hope that you rested well, lekker uitgerus, en dat jy reg is vir die nuwe jaar. Ek bid dat 2020 ver bo u verwagtinge sal wees. I pray that 2020 will bless you out of your socks. And that's why I believe God wants to start this year with, can I borrow a little salt? When I grew up many years ago as a child, one of the things that I hated was when my mother said late night or somewhere, ons suiker is op. Our sugar, we did not get to town today, so the sugar is done. Then I had to go, right? Go next door to the auntie next door. Go and go borrow a little bit of sugar just to get us through tomorrow morning. And while I prepared for this message today, this came up again. Can I borrow a little salt, please? If you do have your Bibles with you, we're going to read in 2 Kings 2, verse 9 to 22. Now, before I continue, I know it's a big time of reflection for people. Mense aan die begin van die jaar, hulle dink aan 'n klomp goed. So you're busy reflecting, potentially about the old year, and now you're projecting into the new year. And I believe God wants to just speak to us this morning, not necessarily about your year, but about you, about me. And when I share this message, God is talking to me first. The last week, my family, after we returned from holiday, it was a really quiet week at home. You know, we played cards, we sat in the backyard, just spending time together. And that was the most amazing week of my holiday. Despite going away, despite spending time with family, the last few days I enjoyed myself totally. And when I prepared, I understood 2 Kings 2 verse 19 to 22, the people of the city said to Elisha, look, our Lord, this town is well situated, as you can see, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive. Bring me a new bowl, he said, and put salt in it. So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the spring, threw the salt into it, saying, this is what the Lord says. I have healed this water. Never again will it cause death or make the land unproductive. And the water has remained pure to this day, according to the word of Elisha as spoken. Incidentally, to this day, this spring is called Elisha's spring. The town that I'm going to talk about is situated on the West Bank between Israel and Palestine, but I don't want to go into that. There are a few parts of scripture that I highlighted. And I believe God is going to just share with us this morning about, there are five elements that you can see there. And before I continue, I just need to give a bit of context again. Elisha is staying in the town Jericho. He's been staying there, and he's just taken over from Elijah. So he's never done anything before. You know, he's been a prophet for, let's say, a short period of time. He's been with Elijah, but he hasn't done anything yet. So now, the people of the town, they come to him because the town, whatever's in the town, is unproductive. There is no fruitfulness. There is no fruit. So the prophet receives people from the city of Jericho. Now, Yochi knows this. Whenever you go and you ask somebody something as a city, you know, you always put the best things of your city first. So, you know, when you do a presentation, you start with the good things to grab attention, to get people to listen to you. So in this situation, a bit of history on Jericho. Jericho was the first city that was conquered by the Israelites after they crossed the Jordan. Remember, they walked around it 6 days, and the seventh day, the walls came down. You remember that? Then Joshua said the following. I'm talking about the city Jericho, because this is the city. The people of the city Jericho came to Elisha. So the city, Joshua said, after the city was destroyed, Joshua said, whoever rebuilds the city will have problems. So the guy who rebuilt the city lost his two sons because of what Joshua said. Besides that, this city, nothing happened there until about 500 years before Elijah came on the scene. So this is now about 500 years later, and they come to him, to the prophet. I need to just give you a little bit more information. This city, Jericho, was lying on the west side in the plain of the Jordan River. So all the water of the Jordan River actually got to the city. That was a good place. This was it was supposed to be a fertile place because there was water. Water from the Jordan. And the water got to the city through underground springs. Ondergrondse fonteine. So there was a constant water supply. There was no shortage. No drought. No nothing. So if you look at the next part, in element one, you know, the location of the city. The location of the city. The city was located beautifully. And this guys, the guys from the city comes to Joshua, to Elisha. They said, look, our Lord, this town is well situated. This town is op die regte plek. Alles is dodelik. Alles is agter mekaar in hierdie stad. Everything is sorted because we are well situated. Now, in the beginning of 2020, we need to just think about location for a moment, because location refers to your ability to access resources or what you need quickly. The city needed water, and they had water. The city was in the right place. Beautifully located to be fertile, but it was unproductive. So now, at the beginning of 2020, I want to ask you guys a question about your location. Because, you know, in a Christian, in a spiritual sense, you are located somewhere. And if we look at our location in 2020, we're part of a beautiful congregation. Right? So from Malmesbury. This church is situated in the middle, in the center of town. So you know what? Beautifully situated. And the people who belong to this church, they have access to resources. Access to word. Access to worship. We had it this morning. When you leave here, you feel like you've been somewhere. You've been in a good place. A place of worship. A place where you received word. A place where someone imparted something to you. We have encounters. We have everything. So whenever we come here, we're like Jericho. Beautifully situated. With all the resources at our fingertips, everything that we need, we have access to. Our location is beautiful. But then these guys that came to the prophet, they continued. Wow. And they said the following. I love this. The second element, there are five. I want to share with you five elements. The first one was location. The second one, when the people of the town came, they said, look, our Lord, this town is well situated. You know that. As you can see. But the water is bad and the land is unproductive. So now they come to him, presentation. Right? They come to him, they say, we have the town is beautifully situated. As you can see. What they forgot was, they forgot that Elisha stayed in Jericho. So you can't fool a man who's part of the town, of the city. So when the people came, they wanted Elisha to believe that everything is going well. So they start with the good things. We are well situated, as you can see. Why did they say that? Because this town was called the town of palms, or the city of palms. Because of the underground water, all over the city there were these big palm trees just popping up all over. So when you drive into the town, you can see all the beautiful greenery in the surrounded by desert. That's why it was called, as you can see, we look beautiful. You know what appearance is? Appearance is a way that someone or something looks. So the town, well situated, looked good. If in modern days, if you wanted to buy property, you will certainly look at Jericho. Talk to the people. Listen here, man. Do you think I should buy something here? Yes, of course. Look around you. It's all green. Well situated, looking good. Can we bring that to 2020 again? We are well situated. We're part of this congregation. We have access to resources. And this might sound harsh, but this week I've been confronted with this. But the thing is, sometimes it's more important when you're well situated to keep appearances up. To still look good. Can we get down to it quickly? Because the thing is, you know, I need to read the right reading plan, Bible plan. When people start talking in 2020, I started the new plan. Yes, we're 50 people doing it. The second thing that we're doing is when we get together, we sound as if we've been with God every single hour previously before I got you. I know this is a bit harsh, but this is the reality. We listen to the right speakers on YouTube. We share the right messages. We say the right things in conversations. And the reason why we're doing it, because we know we still have to state our problem. Our problem is still coming. Listen how these guys start. They say we're well situated, and as you can see, the city looks good. And in the beginning of 2020, God confronted me and he said, all right, so what is the picture that you're showing to the world and actually what's really happening? We look good while we're out there. I look good while I'm out there. We show off our green palms. Element one, well situated. Element two, we appear as if everything is fine. And then element three, and then they get to the cracks. And they don't say it like this. I'm going to say it like this. I'm going to say the following, and I want to quote this scripture. Productivity. Lord, look, this town is well situated, as you can see, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive. So even though we're well situated, even though, you know, we say all the right things, we do all the right actions, we do the right thing at the right time, we are not producing anything. Unproductive. Productivity refers to your ability to bring forth fruit. When God made man, he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and then you rule over it. So, the town Jericho, although situated well, although looked beautifully, they were unproductive, so they were not in line with what God said about them. Mark 11 verse 13, Jesus cursed the fig tree that was unproductive. May no one ever eat from you again. And that continued. Now they give the reason. They say we're unproductive because our water is bad. Because our water is bad. Can I just say this? When the water left the Jordan, it was pure. When the water got to Jericho, it was contaminated. When the water left the Jordan, the river, it was good. When it got to the city Jericho, it was contaminated. It wasn't good for production. It wasn't good for fruitfulness. So somewhere along the way between the Jordan and Jericho, something happened to the water. Some contamination slipped in. And I'm just going to slow down for a moment here. Because of that contamination, there is no productivity. Because of that contamination, there is no fruit. And in Jericho, they experienced the following. You know what this means? No fruitfulness. The trees will grow. If they had apple trees there, the apple tree would grow. But because of the contaminated water, the tree will go beautifully, the leaves will be there, but when you want to harvest apples, there would be no apples. So all the signs of fruit is there, but there is no fruit. You know what happened with the sheep and stuff? You know what they did was, they beautiful, they get, how do I say this?
Hulle word dragtig.
But when it, yes, well, I didn't want to use that word. But when, thank you. But when it gets to, you need to deliver the baby, there, nothing happened. Miscarriage after miscarriage after miscarriage. This is a serious situation. Well situated, well watered, beautiful to look at, but no production. Then the prophet started speaking. And the prophet said the following. He said, and this is so funny. The prophet said, remember this is his first act. The town people are there. Now, I believe it was a great delegation. You know, all the important people. They tried to fix this thing for years. They couldn't get it right. Now they're getting to the prophet. So now they're there. And the prophet says something. He says, listen here, bring me, let me read. Bring me a new bowl, he said, and put salt in it. So they brought it to him. Now, if I was in that meeting, part of the delegation of the town, I would look at the prophet and say, excuse me? Wat het jy nou net gesê? Prophet sê, gaan kry 'n nuwe bak. Sit sout in die bak. Hy sê nie hoeveel nie. Doesn't say, you know, sit net sout in die bak en dan bring jy die bak en die sout vir my. Now can we just stay here for just a moment? He didn't ask for a bowl waarmee jy brood kniep, jou brood kniep bak. He didn't ask for that bowl. He didn't ask for the bowl that you catch your milk from your cow or your camel. He didn't ask for a bowl like that. He said, bring me a new bowl. One that was never used before. One that you never used in your kitchen. One that was never in your cupboard. Bring me a new bowl. So imagine these people. They're running. They go, oh, yes, let's go. Who manufactures bowls in this town? We mark bak. And they run and they go and they find this bowl. And imagine the whole committee, the guys who saw the prophet, they now, you know what? Ek hoop is groot genoeg. Ek hoop dis die regte kleur. They didn't think about that. They were worried about their water. They were worried about the fact that they're unproductive. So they now get this bowl. And they bring it to the prophet. I wanna slow down a bit. When the Bible refers to a bowl, the bowl is a sign of your provision for the future. So when Elisha asked them to bring the new bowl, when they brought the new bowl, with that bowl, it symbolized their harvest in the future. It symbolized, you know, the wheat that will go in that bowl. It symbolized the flour that goes in that bowl. It symbolized the oil that goes in that bowl. So now they're bringing this bowl to the prophet. But I want to just say this. The reason why it's a new bowl, not an old bowl, is because the new bowl was never contaminated by anything in the past. Nothing touched the new bowl. There was no failure in the new bowl. There was no lack in the new bowl. This thing was made yesterday. Nothing touched it before. It's only the manufacturer that touched it. This bowl does not remember last season. This bowl does not remember 2019 or 2018. It's never been used. You know, there was never a lappie skoon gemaak. Niks het hom ooit skoon. It was never in part of the skorrelgoed. And he says, bring me a bowl like that. Bring it to me. Bring that bowl to me. And before you bring the bowl, put some salt in it. So in 2020, even though our land is beautifully situated, and we really look good, and we become, you know, maybe a little bit unproductive in certain areas, what God is saying is, he says, listen here, in the past you used to write down resolutions for the year. You know, you wanted to do, he said, listen here, throw all of those things out. find a new bowl. Find a new container that you've never used before. I was cleaning out my garage this week. So, you know, I found something in 2009 that I said in 2009 in my prayer journal in 2014 and 2012. They're in a box somewhere. But I just found these loose books, prayer journals. And you know what? The first thing that I wanted to do is I wanted to read 14 April 2009. What did God do? And then I just thought, that was 2009. Close the book. Take it away. This is 2020. Whatever happened between 2001 and 2019 is irrelevant. It does not apply, because God, the prophet says, go and find a new bowl, new one, and bring it and lift it up. Never touched by anything else. I'm not saying we should ignore what happened in the previous years, but we need to move away from a mindset, from a paradigm that says this is just a continuation of what God has done. It's not. This is something new. This is something fresh. That might be something that we've never experienced before. For 500 years, there was unproductivity. But now you can bring a new bowl. And then he says, element five, how to fix bad water. They say, don't just bring the new bowl, add salt to it. He said, bring me a new bowl and put salt in it. So they brought it to him. I was shocked. As I prepared, I was seriously shocked this week, because there are more than 100 verses in the Bible with the word salt in it. I didn't know. More than 100 verses there that were salt in it. Now the thing is, I need to just grab my notes here. Can I just say something about this salt? I even found out there's a covenant of salt. Yes. A verbond van zout that God made with David. So imagine how much I enjoyed preparing for today, because of all the saltiness. This, you know, the thing is, and so I found the following. And if you want to make notes, this is the thing. I asked God, why salt? You know, when someone was blind in the New Testament, Jesus took mud and put it on his eyes. How can you see with mud on your eyes? Mud takes your vision, your sight away. But this thing, Jesus said, use mud. He here uses salt. You know what? But salt, why salt? Salt was so valuable in the old times. And you guys, just stick with me for a moment. Salt was so valuable in the old times that the army guys, when they were paid at the end of the month, sometimes they were paid in salt. Yes, that's where it comes from. Yes, you are paid in salt. In other words, your remuneration, your betaling for your werk, person. Can I take it further? They use salt to preserve. Hulle het sout gebruik om goed in te lê, preservation, to keep decay away. To keep om die verval van die vlees weg te hou. You can find that in Leviticus 2 verse 13. It's not on the slide. The thing is, salt speaks of a deep relationship. Salt speaks of a deep relationship. You can find this in Numbers 18 verse 19, 2 Chronicles 13 verse 5. So salt was deep. Salt purifies. Salt cures. Salt preserves. And salt seasons. That's what we know salt for today. We use salt to make our food good. Make it taste good. So it cures, it preserves, it keeps it for a long time, and then it purifies and it seasons. But I've got an issue. How did the water that got from the Jordan to Jericho, how did it get bad? You know what caused bad water? Brackish water? Salt. So again, these guys are confused. First he asked for a new bowl, and suddenly he wants salt in it.
It was the salt that caused the problem in the first place. It was the salt that made the water bad. So the prophet now uses a new bowl, put salt in it, and he says, go throw it in the water. Now, this is the thing. God uses the unthinkable to get to the impossible. God uses the unthinkable to get to the impossible. Water's bad. The salt caused the water's badness, but he used salt to cure, to purify. Can I just take this a little bit further? Because some people might ask, how does this apply to me? John 7 verse 38. Jesus uses these words. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living waters will flow from within you. Rivers of living water will flow from within them. Now I know if a river starts somewhere, it needs to flow somewhere. Let me say that again. If a river starts somewhere, it needs to flow somewhere. A river can't flow and not go anywhere. Am I right? How do you flow when you stay in the same place? So Jesus says, whoever believes in me, is there anybody who believes in Jesus? Yes. So rivers will flow from you. Right, living waters will flow from within them. But they need to flow somewhere. In a few weeks' time, we're doing Coming Home 2020. Location, appearance, productivity, a new bowl, and salt. Where are you located currently? I'm staying in 53 Valboom Avenue. So while we worship, I thought about all the people around me. I'm located there. So the living water that God placed in me is supposed to flow somewhere, right? And the first places that it will reach will be the people around me. I cannot flow to Uppington. I can go to Uppington. I can do work there for 3 days, you know. Woo! And after 3 days, I come back and you know, I receive emails afterwards. It was a wonderful workshop. So my water touched Uppington, right? For 3 days. But I'm in my community the whole year. Every single day. So now the thing is, my neighborhood is my location because I have access to those people. Location. Secondly, you know, appearance. The people around me, and I'm going to be very straight. Die mense wat in my omgewing bly, lyk okay. We have learned to keep up appearances. Die mense in my omgewing, as ek by hulle huis gaan klop, as ek gaan hoor hoe gaan dit, dan gaan almal se skerms gaan oop. Met jou nie, dit gaan goed. Hoe gaan dit met julle? Dit gaan goed. Was die vakansie? Is goed. Yes. Kinders gaan skool toe hierdie jaar? Ja. Watter graad is hulle? Graad 7, graad 8, and so on. So, when we get there, in that location around me, everything looks good. But I've got news for you. People are hurt and people are broken. People are hurt and people are broken. You know, this morning I was surprised. This is a moment of honesty. I was so surprised. I was standing there for a moment. I was so surprised when I saw people that I saw last year. I was so excited to see people, and it just came from my heart. I was like, okay, right. So this is the news. It's lekker for me, man. It's lekker to greet people this morning. And I wanted to hug them and say, listen, it's good to see you. So in our neighborhood, if we come to church like that, Oh dear. Why do we not go to our neighbor like that? I'll get to you now, Deva. I'll get to you now. So you know, it doesn't look good, but you know, it looks good, but it's not good. And the productivity. You know, when you sit down with people, can we chat for a moment? The thing is, when you greet and you're just quick and you're in and out for 30 minutes, you don't get anything of what's really happening. But once you get beyond the greeting and beyond the coffee and beyond whatever, and you know, after a while, you don't know what to say to each other, but then finally they start talking about the real thing. This is what I'm struggling with. It looks green and lovely, but we need answers. We need answers. There's a scripture in Matthew 5, verse 13, that says the following. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. Can I say it again? You are the salt of the earth. Who did Jesus say that to? That was in Matthew 5. It's just after he started the Beatitudes. He said this. You know what the scripture says? Matthew 5, I think verse 1 says, Jesus took his disciples up on the mountain. He set them down and then he started talking. He took his disciples up and he said, guys, sit down here. I want to talk to you. And then he said the words, you are the salt of the earth. Mariette, you are the salt of the earth. In other words, in your community, you are supposed to preserve. You are supposed to purify. You are supposed to cure. Because you are the salt that God has placed in your community. You are the salt. Jesus does not say, you know, in time you will become salt. He said, you are the salt. You are the salt. So if there is anything that is unproductive in your community, I'm making a huge statement here. Anything that doesn't work in your community, I have placed you there to become the salt, to be salt. I'm almost done. I just want to share with you three ways our salt is made, and this blessed me again. Three ways. There are three ways to make salt. And if you're a child of God, you might identify with one of the three. First way to make salt is, they call it sea salt. Sea salt, they just take salt water, the water evaporates, and we have salt, sea salt. Then the second one, this is how they make salt. Sea salt is the first one. The second way to make salt is they call it rock salt. And what they do with rock salt is they are the water under the ground, deep under the ground, they've crystallized. So they're salt. So what they do is they take dynamite, they throw it in there and they blow the ground up. Then they take the salt and they crush it when it gets to the top of the surface. One way to make disciples is to just let them evaporate. They just grow into this thing. Other disciples need a bit of dynamite in there to just blow up. And then when they are on the surface, so God just comes and he crushes a bit so that we can be used. The third way to make salt is they call it salt brines. So what they do is they pump, the salt is there, they pump water into it. And what they do is the salt becomes a brine. The stuff that they put on your chicken, if it's frozen, or in the chicken, in any case, don't want to be gross. So water goes down, and they take the salt, and dissolves the salt. And what they do then is interesting. They push the salt up again to the surface. And when they get to the surface, they take the water away again. That is salt brine. Three ways to make salt. I don't know what your experience in discipleship has been. God might have used different ways to get you to become the person that he wants you to be. But in order for the salt to work, we need a new bowl. We need someone who wants to step out and say, I've never done this in my life. Never. I don't know how it's going to work. I've never tried it before. That's it. Maybe it's a bit easier for me because I'm challenging every single thing I've believed my whole life. I told the world. It's been an exciting month and a half. Scary, but so exciting. Everything that I believed previously, not according to the gospel, because that is fixed. But everything else that I assumed to be right, I said, I wrote it down, and then I said, I'm going to check if this is right. And you know, when I started doing that, I found that I could do things that I never thought was possible. I'm serious. You know, let me just give you an example, and I'm almost done. You know, I always send my stuff to someone else to do it, and I paid this guy money. And then one day I said, I'm going to take a few hours, and I'm going to do it myself. You know, 4 hours later, I did exactly the same thing that he did that I paid him money for. So, where is your new pole? Where is the thing that you've never done before that you're stepping out in faith this year for, and you're saying, God, here is my bowl? But this is the kicker. You can't ask God for the salt because you are the salt. In your community, you can't go to somebody else. You have to take your bowl and say, God, this is what I trust you for this year. This is what I want to do. This is why you called me. And once you do that, you put yourself totally. And you run. And the result is, bad water will be fixed. While you're getting yourself ready to be there, you will see this person come to you and say, wow, God has done this amazing thing. You say, okay. Go to another person in your neighborhood, in your at work, and you say, wow, I just live my life for God. A new bowl. And then God use me as salt this year. In my neighborhood, in what I do, I am willing to be salt. I want to close with the scripture, Zechariah 3 verse 10. In that day, each of you will invite your neighbor to sit under your vine and fig tree, declares the Lord Almighty. In that day, each of you will invite your neighbor to sit under your vine and fig tree, declares the Lord Almighty. When you hold your bowl up and you're in there for salt, as salt, your neighbor will come and sit at your house and leave with their bad water restored to pure water. When you walk into their house, when you spend time with it, and this is the same for our congregation, everybody who's here, if I bring my salt in my bowl and you bring your salt in your bowl, your bad water in whatever situation might be cured because we brought ourselves for his service. Are you willing and ready not to become salt but to be salt? That's it. I also want to ask you a question. Where is your bowl? Not the one that you used. Where is your bowl? I'm going to be bold this morning. During the worship, Deval said that we get to a place where we realize that there's nothing that I can add to my life that is valuable. It sounds it's flink freestyle. There is nothing that I, out of myself, can add to my life that makes my life more valuable. I can study a bit more, I can do a bit more, but it's God that brings value. It is Jesus within us that just takes us to places. And sometimes when we get somewhere, we realize, you know, I did my bit, but it is actually God that made this happen.